This is the Morning Primetime Newsmaker.
Our Newsmaker segment today is brought to you by MRSK Buildings, constructing all kinds of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges, 620-340-7732.
If you've been thinking about adding a building to your property, let MRSK Buildings help you every step of the way. MRSK Buildings is your stud frame and post frame building headquarters. At MRSK Buildings, they construct all types of buildings from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. And MRSK Buildings, their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges at 340-7732 or visit 2604 West Highway 50 across from Bluestem.
KVOE, we are live and we are local, and we are happy that you're with us on this Thursday morning, 27th of January, 7:23, 21 degrees, a wind chill of 12, and we're very pleased to be joined on our primetime newsmaker via the KVOE Sutherland studio line by Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director Jennifer Milburn. Jennifer, good morning.
Morning.
Good morning.
How are things going for you today?
Just fine, thank you.
Good. Glad to have you with us again here for the latest update. I would ask you here how busy you are, but I'm assuming that even with the caseload numbers down pretty considerably here the last couple of reporting periods, you're probably just about as busy as you were here when you last joined us a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, that's kind of how it's been the last couple of weeks at Public Health. We've definitely seen a lot of cases in our community, which keeps our public health workers very busy. And unfortunately, we saw that spike happen so quickly that there has been a backlog of cases. So we have welcomed the little bit of reprieve that we're seeing, but I know our disease investigators have been very busy with trying to catch up from that big spike that we had.
Well, the last two reports have, just under 190 new cases that were reported and tested positive, Jennifer. So is this reduction a sign of better things to come, or is this due to fewer tests being taken?
Well, I hate to jinx us, but kind of just looking at the data and the amount of tests and test pressure, really, that has been on our test providers, we may have seen the crest of this Omicron wave. It looks like the highest number of cases right now was diagnosed the week of January 9th, and we hit almost 900 new cases diagnosed, 892 diagnosed during that week. And then last week, we saw a slight reduction. We had 812 cases that were diagnosed the week of January 16th. And some of that data is still coming in due to that kind of data lag that I talked about, or that catch-up that we were playing. But really, we are a testing provider, and there are other testing providers in our community that kind of show that the amount of people acquiring tests right now is lower. So to me, that kind of shows that we are having less sick people, or less people in the community that want to get a COVID test right now. That's a good sign for us. By far, I can't say that, we're in any good metrics. Everything is still in the very, very high, but at least we're not going up at this point. I think we're starting to see a downward trend.
I was going to ask if you have any evidence that maybe the number of people that were requesting tests was maybe simply coming down because the testing supplies have been so low, regardless of where you look at the private sector, through the stores, pharmacies, or through the other options that have been available through public health, Newman Regional Health, and Healthier Lyon County. But it doesn't sound like you have any evidence of that.
No, I do think that is what happened that week of January 9th. I think we topped our testing capacity. I do believe we had illnesses that weren't diagnosed simply because people couldn't get a test at that time. We had reached our testing capacity in our community, and that's really unfortunate. I don't think that's the case right now. And really, the most of the supply shortage that we're seeing is in those rapid antigen tests. The rest of the supplies, although we may have some indication that there was some pressure on them, they didn't run out. We never ran out of tests to give to our community that were those PCR tests, both rapid PCR and our send-off PCR tests. So there was still kind of test availability in our community. What kind of hit that max was the scheduling slots. We just couldn't get people in. There wasn't enough, you know, hours, manpower to test everybody that wanted to test.
Are there openings available now to get tested through Lyon County Public Health?
Yes, there sure are. So if individuals are wanting a test, they can go to our website, and we have same-day availability right now. So definitely, you know, use that portal to sign up. It's really easy. And if you are one of those first responders or healthcare workers, we can get you a rapid test that same day. Hopefully our orders will come in, and we will still be able to provide that to our community. If not, the rest of the community should expect to receive a state send-off test. And really, we've had good luck at getting those back timely. I mean, they're coming back in 1 to 2 days right now. Some people are getting their results in about 24 hours. So that's a really good thing.
Well, that has shifted into the quicker, because I know some people that spent 5 or 6 days waiting for tests to get back from the state. So that has quickened then here recently, it sounds like.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, again, that shows that testing pressure that we were having on the system has kind of, you know, alleviated a little bit. We're just not seeing that those extremely, extremely high numbers of people seeking tests at this point.
You know, one of the things that, you know, kind of shifting off of the testing side of things and getting back more into the data, had a chance to attend the Newman Regional Health Board of Trustees meeting yesterday, and they had mentioned that their testing positivity rate was about 42%. I think the school district last night had mentioned just under 40% for test positivity rates at the district level at this stage. What are we seeing here as far as your most recent stats? And, you know, when it comes to test positivity rate at this point in time?
Yeah, we're really seeing the same thing. So the week of January 9th, we had a test positivity rate of about 33%. Last week, it has been higher. Our test positivity was over 40%. So we are seeing the same thing. That is extremely high test positivity. That's not really a good sign, but it is a sign, again, that everything was pointing towards, you know, us having high community spread at this point in time. There are a lot of infections of COVID-19 out there.
And talking with Jennifer Milburn, Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director, on our primetime newsmaker. It is 7:30 with 21 degrees on a Thursday morning. Well, Jennifer, let's talk vaccination numbers. We've been, of course, touching on the big spikes we've seen here the past couple of weeks in huge numbers. Has that led to increased vaccination?
Well, I'd like to say yes, but really the indications, if we look at trending, kind of show that we have decreased the amount of vaccine that we're delivering in our communities. But that really simply just could be because there is a lot of people sick and you can't get vaccinated when you're sick. So we are sitting right now at are fully vaccinated, and this is with two doses of vaccine. We're right around 56% of our total population that fully vaccinated, and those that are eligible, so the 5 and up, is right around that 59%. We're kind of starting to maybe near that 60%. And then if you look at, I think this is kind of where the unfortunate statistic comes in, especially when we're talking about the Omicron wave right now. But if you look at our population that is fully vaccinated and has gotten a booster, that's only at 40% right now. We'd really, really, really like to see that number higher. We know that recent vaccination, whether it be your first series or that booster, really helps a person have enough immunity to fight off that Omicron. And so we'd really like to see that percentage of our fully vaccinated people have that booster. We'd like that to be higher.
Jennifer, one of the things here that the recent spike in cases has done is obviously strained your staff and your resources here to really to the maximum, quite possibly beyond that. You know that better than anybody else. Talk a bit about shifting some of the disease investigation, or maybe the full disease investigation process, here to the state.
Yeah, this has been something that has been in the works. We had been working with KDHE to move more into what they're considering a steady state. So how do we have our public health system continue to respond to this pandemic, but also do, normal operations, so move into more of a steady state operation. So conversations began back in December about transferring our disease investigation for COVID-19 solely to the state. So KDHE would be, conducting all of our disease investigations. Well, we found out this week that that is going to occur, and soon. So starting Monday, January 31st, the state will take over our disease investigations for COVID-19. And that does mean some changes for our community. There are some things that people need to know. First is that we will still continue to work cases that were assigned to us. So we will have a point in time where there will be, a portion of our newly diagnosed cases will be going to the state, and they will be transitioning, taking all of our cases. We will continue to work those cases that were assigned to us, so there'll be kind of an overlap in our community of who has disease investigation for a while. Once we are done working all of the cases that were assigned to us, every new case that's diagnosed will be automatically routed to KDHE to investigate. One of the things people should know right now is there's extreme pressure on that investigation system for the state. Right now, there is a lot of COVID cases across Kansas, so they are prioritizing their cases right now. They are working cases under the age of 18 and over the age of 65 or 65 and older. So the individuals that are diagnosed with COVID-19 that are sort of in that middle, the 18 to 64, there is a potential that KDHE would not call you to discuss your disease investigation. Instead, what you would receive is a text message or an email with information about what to do for isolation, how to determine your close contacts, and how to talk to them about quarantining, and then also some information to some contact information so that people can contact KDHE to get isolation letters if they need it. And this is really important because once KDHE takes over our cases, we will no longer be able to issue isolation letters at the local level. They will own those cases. They will work those cases. So we're still here to answer general questions about what happens with COVID-19, if people have questions about where they need to get tested, when they should get tested, what is isolation, what is quarantine. We will still have our hotline open and available. We will still have local people that you can talk to. But if it is specifics about a case, so, an isolation letter or when can I be released, those will be directed towards KDHE for KDHE to answer those questions.
Really quickly here, Jennifer, one of the things that we saw, I think, over the last week, and something that was actually referenced about an hour ago on ABC News headlines, was the stealth Omicron variant side of things. What's the deal with this, and is this something that we really need to be worried about, or is we have enough to deal with Omicron?
Yeah, so I'm so glad you asked about this, because I do think that there is some kind of misinformation or either some kind of scary things floating around about this. But really, this stealth variant is an Omicron variant. So what we've seen is that the original Omicron has mutated into a sister lineage. And it has this stealth Omicron has a lot of the same mutations as the first Omicron, but it actually has even more additional mutations. So what we were seeing in the first lineage of Omicron was about 60 mutations, and now we're seeing with this BA2, which is what it's called, the stealth Omicron, is about 85 mutations. So what it is kind of special about this one and how it got its stealth name is because it does not have the same mutation that we were seeing in the original Omicron that had a special signal on our PCR test. We called it an S gene dropout. So when you ran a PCR test and it became positive, but it had this S gene dropout, we could be somewhat sure it would indicate that this was an Omicron variant. And so then they were taking those samples and they were running genetic sequencing on them. So it was kind of this neat little trick that we had. Well, this stealth variant of Omicron doesn't have that. So what it means is we really have to think more smartly about how we're running genomic sequencing. So you'll see places like Cahill go back to sort of the sequencing plan that they had before, where they're taking random samples and they're sequencing them. That allows them to pick up the Omicron variant, the sister BA2 variant from Omicron, and then any other potential variants that are out there, you know, in our communities. So the thing that we kind of know about this, though, there are other places where we're seeing this BA2 start to take hold, places like India, Philippines, Netherlands, and Denmark. So we have some information about what it is doing in our communities, and we do see that the BA2 is more transmissible than the original Omicron. So it's sort of starting to take over. What we are seeing, though, that's good news, is that really there's no indications that the disease severity is any worse with the BA2, and that our vaccines are still working very well against this new variant. So what does that really mean for our communities? It means that there is some immunity that should happen with people that already have gotten Omicron and that are boosted or are fully vaccinated, but that we may see this BA2 have kind of pushed through and sort of wipe out the original Omicron, that we get the second kind of wave. It probably will not be as severe and almost maybe might be occurring at the same time. So that's kind of what maybe we're predicting on the horizon. So there's a little bit to be worried about because it is more transmissible. The scientists are going to have to study it more and maybe do some different strategies when it comes to genomic sequencing. But good news is indications are it's not more severe, and we will still have good immunity with vaccine and natural infection.
That is a lot to digest right there.
All
right. Well, Jennifer, as always, great job. Keep up the great work. And as always, we appreciate your time.
Yeah, thank you. I'm really glad to be on today.
Hey, thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Yeah, Jennifer Milburn. Yeah, Lyon County Public Health Emergency Preparedness Director with us on our primetime Newsmaker, Chuck.
All right, and if you'd like to be part of the Newsmaker slots, we have a couple next week. Give us a call, 620-342-1400, or email kvwe@kvwe.com. We'll be joined by Lions Club members Tammy Edmiston and Gary Post tomorrow. We're talking about the Lions partnership with Emporia Head Start and also talking about the club's upcoming district convention.
And our Newsmaker this morning brought to you by MRSK Buildings. They construct all types of buildings, from shops and garages to equipment storage, livestock facilities, and barn homes. MRSK Buildings, where their business is your building. Call Jeff Hodges today, 620-340-7732. MRSK Buildings. It is 7:41. Stay tuned. Weather next.
Winter clearance is going on now at Brown Shoe Fit Company. We have a huge inventory of fall and winter merchandise. Ladies' fashion boots from